conditional use 2096, Capitol Building Shed Outlet.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for gazebo and shed business with outdoor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.040 acres more or less. The property is located on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 972 feet east of Joseph's Road. The 911 address is 28922 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Lewis. The tax map is District 334, Map 4, Parcel 55. Staff would submit into the record a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, a site plan, the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation, and comments from the Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. And we also received a letter in opposition, and the letter is stating that they are writing regarding the conditional use, that they are strongly opposed to granting this change, that they purchased the property because we wanted to be in a residential area without the noise, pollution, disruptions living next to a business brings. Our property is 29617 Fisherman's Lane, and the private road we share borders all three sides of the property being considered for the change. This change should not be granted as it will totally change and destroy the area, and that is from John and Linda Wisniewski. Thank you.
Anyone here representing this application? Mr. Wilber, wake up.
Sorry.
Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Tim Willard with Fuqua Willard Stevens and Schaub. We have office here in Georgetown, two actually, one in Lewis and one in Rehoboth. And I represent the applicant tonight, which is the Capitol Building's Shed Outlet. The principal owner is Steve Fender. He's right here. Next to him is Jennifer Sharp, who is his girlfriend, works with him. In fact, they're the only two employees that are working in the business. And we're here today to ask for a conditional use application for them to allow on this property to have a shed and gazebo display area where they can market sheds that are actually manufactured in Pennsylvania. Let me just talk a little bit about the history of their business. Mr. Fender and his family have been in the shed gazebo business since the 1970s up in Newcastle County. They have a relationship with a manufacturer out of Pennsylvania that's been long-standing. Just recently, not recently, in the last few years, they decided to come down to Sussex County. They've operated a similar business at the corner of Cave Neck Road and Route 1. And it's been rather successful because of the single family homes that are growing down here. They want to move down here permanently, and so they've been looking for a property where they could do this business, but also live at the property. And this is the property that they found, and it's under contract for sale with the condition with this conditional use. The property itself is located on Route 9 east of Harbison. It's approximately 1 acre. As you see it there, it's on the south end of Route 9. I have, and I think Ms. Cornwell has indicated what was given to the council, the commission. I don't know if you all have a copy of my little booklet here. Mm-hmm. I intend to go through it, maybe point out some. Does everybody have one of those? Fortunately,
yes.
I think there's some pictures.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yep, it's the one with the...
I think there's some pictures.
It's got the tabs on it.
Yeah. And I really, at the get-go, I always include the law because it's somewhat important for what you do, but you're well aware of the conditional use law. This is AR1 property. The conditional use law that we're asking for is the general business commercial use. And we believe, ultimately, when you hear the entire application, because of the passive nature of the business, what it provides to the community, that it will be desirable and convenient for what's going on around there. And as we see what's going on around there, this, as your director indicated in her memo, it could be considered consistent. It's in the low-density comprehensive area of the plan, which also calls for businesses that are convenient for goods and services for nearby residents, and especially this area of Sussex County. The residential feature of the county has certainly grown, and the businesses along Route 9, such as this one, we say, and in this area are complementing that residential use. You should have on tab 2 the survey, and it's kind of teeny. There's a larger one, and I don't know if that's going to come up as an exhibit.
No.
But as you can see from there, the property is 1 acre, and if you have a copy of the survey in front of you, this is what Steve has proposed. It was done by John Roach, who's a surveyor site planner here in town. There's a circular driveway, and part of that would be cut off, and they originally have parking, six spaces in the rear of the property. We, at the conclusion of this presentation, I'll give an alternative site plan just because they have talked to the neighbors in the area. The property is bordered, as you can see, by Fisher Road, which is a road to the west, and on that road, there are three houses right there, and if you follow it all the way back, there are two other houses. But in some of their conversations, I think the neighbor to the immediate west has indicated that she wouldn't like to see the parking in the back rear. So we have an alternative plan to put six spaces in the front. On the site plan, it shows where, in the circular drive right next to the farmhouse, they're planning to put two sheds and a gazebo. These are new sheds and gazebos that are manufactured by the firm in Pennsylvania, basically just as a show place. They've also indicated a space about 100 by 24 in the rear of the property where they'd also display some sheds. As you can see, there's a hedgerow in the rear of the property and some trees that would have to come out. It's their intention to, this farmhouse is about 100 years old. It's their intention to live there, to fix it up. The entrance off the driveway conveniently has a space that would be a fine space for an office, or actually they use their gazebos as an office. The nature of the business, and Steve's going to weigh in towards the end, is people will find out about the business or see it by the roadside. They'll either schedule an appointment, stop by, and look at them. They don't sell any product from here. Occasionally, there may be a model that would move out of there. They don't keep any inventory of product to sell there. So what they'll do is they'll order products. And a lot of times, most of the times, the specs are very specific because they have to match HOAs, color, siding, and that's really their specialty. So that's the plan. I've also indicated in tab 3 just different model types. If you all are interested in seeing the more elaborate catalog, I'll certainly pass that up and hand it out to you. It's really a fine product they've been selling for years. If I could, I always need Ms. Cuomo's help with this. There should be some pictures in tab 5. Do you have that had the tax part. Do we have the tax map also? Well, we can go.
We just have the photos. Okay. You just provided the photos.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at tab 5, it's not as flashy. But just to, as we get into the surrounding area, tab 5 has the tax map, which actually has the zoning. And if you see the dark areas to the top, oh, there it is. Yeah, that was there originally. So you see all the red area, which is commercial. I'm sorry. You see all the commercial area on there, which is, we'll see what those activities actually are. But as you can see, it's pretty much an active business area that the county's already recognized. Sorry, Ms. Cornwell, could you maybe help me out and go forward? So this is what's going on around there. That's pretty much right across the street. It's the supply company, housing supply company, cabinetry business. We can go forward. Then a little bit east of that, actually right next to that, is the Beeman's old antique place. We buy gold, as you can see. Now this property, it's a dog grooming business. That's east of the property, south on Route 9, so it's back further, but it's pretty much next to their property on the south side. That's another angle of the BSD business. They sell windows. Just up on the north side is Millman's appliance store and Steele's gun shop. On the south side is the I can never say the name of that company.
Barrica.
That's one of their model homes and sales centers, which, you know, is very, I think, consistent with what Mr. Fender wants to do. Not houses, but sheds and gazebos. That's a picture of the actual house. I would be standing on Fisherman's Drive looking towards their house. And that's the drive where if you look at our site plan, we would have it would be extended further back with the parking to the right of that pine tree. But as I said, and I'll hand out shortly, an alternative is to put the parking in the front to accommodate. Now this is a picture of the backyard. And if you can see, and I know there's a neighbor, I think that they may be here tonight, or actually this is where you got one of the letters, and you'll see another picture. Their property extends, if you can see where the grass kind of changes color, that's their property line. And here, actually, you can see some survey lines. I think that's what that little flag is. So I know that in the letter of opposition, they were concerned about disrupting that, or at least in conversations also. My clients actually reached out to the neighbors, and they said, we don't want to lose that. Because if you'll see another picture forward, that's what they look at in their front yard as far as, yeah, there they are. So, and they have a very nice yard and some crepe myrtles and trees. Anybody that bought this property could develop that backyard according to, you know, a residential. They can put a fence, a hedgerow, or do whatever, or use it. Over the years, and I think they've been there for 20-some years, it's been just kept open. So my clients certainly respect that. They've indicated on their site plan to put a fence up, and on the other side of the fence have leylands or some kind of, you can see on some kind of cedar barrier. They're certainly willing to put some kind of natural barrier on the outside so it's more natural looking, and maybe even forego the fence. So we really think that, you know, ultimately, I certainly appreciate their concern, and you can see that neighbor through their trees, which is the hedgerow, which is in their property. You know, my clients respect their concern. Ultimately, somebody could do something if they just bought it without a conditional use. So I'd like to suggest this is an opportunity that they can weigh in to get what they want, and my clients are willing to entertain that, certainly, if they have ideas that would suit them better. Obviously, they might just want the open space. My clients need to use some of that space for the display area they have in the back. They're going to have to take down that hedgerow. And that some of those cedars that are there now, cypresses, are pretty much run their course, it seems to me. Okay, is that all the pictures I have? I guess it is. Mm-hmm. You have it in the beginning of tab 6, to give you a better idea, which I think is important to you. Google Earth always amazes me. Now you can just go right to the street and, you know, walk down it virtually. But what this map does is actually show you those locations of those businesses that are surround the property. So if you look at that first page of tab 6, you see their property in the middle of the center with Fisherman's Lane goes around. And then if you follow down the street, you see Steeles, Millman's, Grizzly Landscaping, the Building Supply, the Antique Shop. I didn't have a picture of the Moose, but that's not too far away. The Moose Lodge is just down a little bit. And you can see that there's commercial zoning kind of surrounding it. Obviously, there's some open space, too. The Habitat Restore is right on the right side. Dog grooming business. And the model home is up on the corner. And that gives you a better idea of actually where they are. There's no TIS required. You have that letter as well. I have, and this was just handed to me tonight, about 25 letters that were submitted. And you know, Jennifer might be able to weigh in on these. They have the addresses of the individuals that signed these letters in support of the business. And these are customers of Capitol Building Sheds that have been very supportive of the business. It is a form letter they produce, but I have 25 letters that they signed that said, would you support this application? Probably when you talk about putting a conditional use business, you want to learn a little bit about the business. And I think these speak highly of the business. Some of them have personal notes on it. For example, and I'll hand these up, this individual there from Milton. They write, we were very satisfied working with Capitol Building Shed Outlet. The quality of the pieces we ordered were top-notch. Most importantly, Jen and Steve were such a pleasure to deal with, professional, diligent, and paid attention to every detail. They will make great assets to the community. Somebody else writes on theirs, quality product, quality service, quality people, excellent service, excellent workmanship. Everyone wants one. perfectly matched to our home. Couple other personal letters. We have experienced excellent service from Capitol Building Shed Outlets. We ordered a shed that did not match our home. Even though the mistake was on our part, Capitol Sheds quickly replaced our shed to meet the Homeowners Association requirements. And I'll hand those up to you, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
The 25 are all similar, but some of them have personal notes on them.
Okay, we'll make sure they're part of the record. Thanks, Mr. Willard.
Do you have the longer letter? There's one other letter that kind of impressed me. I won't read the whole thing. It's from Dr. Longo. I think they have property here in Sussex. And to summarize, it says, in the day and age where people tell you consistently what they can or won't do for you, it's a pleasure to meet and work with people who go the extra mile to do exactly what you ask them to do. The service that Steve and Jen provided exceeded our expectations. There is no question in my mind that they are an asset and needed resources to our community as well as surrounding communities.
That was a nice letter.
Thanks.
I think what's significant of this application is they fully intend to live there and fix up this old farmhouse, a farmhouse that otherwise, you know, might not be as attractive to a place to raise a family right there on Route 9. So it seems like a nice transition to do something useful with it, but also preserve the farmhouse.
Well, Mr. Willard, I know that you're aware that the conditional use travels with the land, and these folks might be the best shed people in the world, but they might sell that business to somebody else. That conditional use is going to remain. I would be far more impressed with letters from the neighbors or people who live in the area. Are those letters from people who live nearby, or where are they from?
They're from customers that have used their business, and the answer to your question is no, not adjacent, and I understand.
I appreciate what you're saying.
I'll give you what I got.
Yeah, so. I understand, and I appreciate that, but I want mainly the benefit of the public to know that the way this process works, once this conditional use is granted, if that use continues, that business could be sold to somebody else who would continue the same use, and that use will travel with the land as long as that business is operating there, regardless of who owns it. So. I appreciate and am delighted to hear that these folks are quality operators, but there's a larger concern here that we need to address for the benefit of the public and the people that live around this.
I understand. That's always the case with conditional use, yeah.
Sure is.
The last thing I have is a survey I mentioned that Mr. Roach updated because of conversation with one of the neighbors that they would like the parking in the front, and that just shows the 6 parking places in the front so they wouldn't disturb the back. Just as an alternative.
These are all the same?
They're all the same, okay. Yeah, they're just copies. And for the reasons, Mr. Wheatley, you said, we've suggested conditions that 2 would run with the land, and they're attached at the end of the booklet I have, which include the property be developed according to the site plan, the home shall be the owner's residence, which will include a small office for business. We've suggested that condition, and Mr. Wheatley, that would maybe be one thing that would give the neighbor some resolve that if they did grant this conditional use, that the operators would have to live there.
Sure.
The business shall include display of sheds and gazebos for sale. Customers could inspect the products and order from a catalog. The products would be shipped directly to the customer's properties, not from the property. Hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. until 5 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 4 p.m. on Sunday or by appointment. Signage shall be limited to 1 roadside ground sign, not to exceed 6 square feet, side with directional lighting, and 1 sign on the building not to exceed 4 square feet. Display lighting on sheds or gazebos shall be directed only on the property and shall be extinguished at 9:30. A natural or fence buffer shall be installed on the side and rear perimeters of the property. And as I've always indicated, my clients have flexibility in that regard if the neighbors have a preference. I'd like to call Mr. Fender up here then for a sec. You need to state your name and
Stephen Fender, 32356 Wood Duck Road in Millsboro.
Heard my representations to the commission about your application before them tonight. Are they true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Now, I usually say, is there anything you'd like to add? They may have questions.
The only thing that I would like to add is, as you look at, when we looked at the lane, let's put these on, that this, if I can find the mouse right here, this, where it comes down this side of the property and then all the way up to here and all of that, is a future potential road or driveway to this house. So in addition to whatever, you know, there could be a, and you can see there's a little path in the grass right there where they drive up there now. And that's the access to this property, as I understand it.
I see it right here.
That could also be a road in between, or a driveway, I should say, in between the properties. And the only reason that I point that out is I think originally someone had thought that maybe that was the road that we were talking about.
Okay. And that road to the rear of your properties, it's just a dirt road, or
yeah, that's just, I mean,
it's not developed.
You can see where somebody drives right there, and that's just two paths from tires in the sand. But that is an easement, I guess. I don't know what the terms are. But so, I mean, I guess I'm assuming someone could put a paved driveway to that property there. That would be in addition to whatever fencing or hedgerow or plantings that we would put in.
Yeah, when we did a search on this, his property was not part of that subdivision, that Fisher Lane. It looks
that was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was.
No, I rechecked the deeds, and it's not part of it. My search showed, and I assume the three, one, two, three, four lots that are connected there were part of the Fisher Lane subdivision. So.
I would also like to point out to the committee that I'm 53 years old. I intend on building no sheds there. My favorite sale is the shed I never see. Just going to put that out there.
Okay. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, Mr. Willard. Just stand nearby if you don't mind. We'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
Okay. So since we were just talking about this, explain to me again that because you showed us another picture, and I also noticed when I went up there the other day, it looks like the neighbors in the back where they stopped mowing. I'm assuming that's pretty much where your property or where this property ends.
That's what it looks like on paper. I inspected it myself, and you could see where the stop mowing was, and their little flags on the ground.
But I didn't see a path. I'm not saying that it's not there. But so are you saying that they're using that what is a proposed cul-de-sac to get to that house?
Yes, there is no other access, as far as I know. Now I could be wrong, but that's the deeded access to this driveway.
What that says is that those lots, like what is that? Right there where that house, where those three, they're not actually adjacent to the applicant's property, because that's it appears to be a 50-foot right-of-way.
Yeah. Oh, for which you share?
No,
he doesn't at all.
His entrance is off and on.
I'm not good with a mouse.
No, I got you.
The entrance to the property we're talking about is here.
No, I got you. I'm with you. I didn't know if you had rights to that.
I don't believe so.
Okay. And then
so in other words, just to answer that fully, the people to the rear, their rear yards or front yards, I guess, don't actually touch upon this gentleman's property because, like I said, there's that road in between.
So the mow line is probably, could be the edge of their property, not including that road and cul-de-sac.
No, I think the mow line is probably, based on those survey markers, the edge of his property.
Okay.
Then there's another 50 feet for a right-of-way, and then there's their properties that start.
So that's why I wanted to, I'm glad you understand that, because that's why I wanted to point that out, that it's not that road in the back down there.
Okay. So, and in this other paper that you just gave us, you had earlier referred to an alternate, I think you actually referred to an alternate shed location, but
no.
This is an alternate parking location.
Yeah, I meant to say parking.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay. So there's no, I thought you said the alternate shed location.
Well, there are two shed locations, Mr. Hopkins. The one is in sort of the circle there right beside the house.
Yep.
They intend to put three, like two sheds and a gazebo.
Gazebo for a pavilion.
And then that rectangular shaded
right.
area back there would be some more sheds lined up for different kinds of sheds. Smaller ones, bigger ones. So the shaded area that's a rectangle, and the area just showing actually the outline of three different buildings.
So where are all of the, you know, really very mature trees in the back? Are they, do you have to take, I know you talked earlier about, you know, I'm a little confused with regard to what you were trying to explain to us about those trees. So let me start maybe like this. The proposed shed display area, in order to clear that area so that you can put sheds in there, will you have to wipe out most of those trees?
If I can come up, I can better show you right on what you're looking at.
Because it's possible you could show us on the screen so the public
You can actually can even follow. Color on the screen.
This is a hedgerow here that's more in the center of the property. And there's a light pole in here that you can't see, and the driveway comes up in here that you can't see. And that's where the proposed shed display would be, is right here.
So you're having to wipe out most of those trees?
They would come out.
Because
they're coming. We proposed replanting and welcomed input on what that planting, would be.
Okay. And how many sheds will you have in the proposed shed display area?
That would be a moving target, because let's say we have a 10 by 16 shed and we come out with a new model, the display, we would put a model on special, sell it, move it out, put something new. It might be a 12 by 20 that comes in instead of a 10 by 16. So it's over the years, it's a rotating. Obviously, you want to keep the display fresh and looking good. New products come out, new styles.
So do you think that you'll end up... Your proposed shed display area, in all likelihood, is it going to move back towards the proposed white fence?
It's been proposed just to be in that 100 by 24 space with the additional three sheds next to the house. So that's what we're proposing. It would be pretty far off the back line.
So you think that's the only space that you would need?
That's all we're asking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I honestly, if I can just add, as we intend to live here, we would like to have some personal space. And as you look at that drawing, if you were to go to the, as you look at it from Route 9 and go from the house to the back left corner and along the back, I'd love to have a little garden and our own personal space to live without it being all business all the time.
In other words, from standing on Route 9, looking at the house, the back left corner.
Yes, and along the back.
That would be the east. That would be like the southeast corner of the property.
I'm not sure.
Correct. Well, if you went out there, Mr. Hopkins, you saw that the area that was grass, that would be all their property. So
right.
That was not as cut as trim when I was there this morning, actually.
We would want to have some personal space.
Last time I checked, we don't regulate gardens, so I think you're okay there.
I mean, we want to live there, too, not just...
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
No. I think you touched on this, but I see a for sale sign in the front yard, and you have it under contract based on getting the conditional use?
That's correct, and then the sellers have been cooperative because it took longer than expected, and so they're anxious to hopefully go to closing, and part of the condition is... to get this conditional use.
So what equipment do you use to load and unload the sheds? Do you need a forklift?
That's the drivers. They have a tractor trailer with a shed mule that stays out in the street, and a machine pulls it off and takes it into your yard.
So it stays out on Route 9?
No, I don't own it. That's subcontracted out.
No. Where does, when he's loading and unloading?
When they're bringing displays to your property.
Would need to bring the display in, absolutely. That would... I mean, obviously getting everything in there in the beginning is going to be a one-time event, and then it's just going to be one at a time as we sell a display on special that's an older, it's 2 years old, it's time to freshen up the display, you need to move one out. I have a small 20-foot trailer that goes on the back of a pickup truck. I don't want to do deliveries or build sheds. We move quite a few sheds for people from one location to another, so I do have that for myself. The sale shed typically, I don't want to see it.
When he delivers them somewhere else.
I think the question is, when you take delivery, and how often, how is that done? Because I think there is a concern that there will be a tractor trailer parked
right
on the shoulder of a very busy road while a shed's being
when we
unloaded.
Are moving the display in, that would be true.
Right, and how often does that happen?
We would rotate the display when it gets 2 or 3 years old. One, I mean, it's not all at one time. It's a gradual thing. It might be one shed every 6 months gets switched out on them. I see your question now.
Yeah, the question is how often
Do we move the display? No, we try not to. We tell people we would rather build it in 2 or 3 weeks and bring it out to you than bring you one off the display. It's just easier to build a new one rather than fish one out of it, because you have to move everything out of the way to get one out of the middle. It's a pain in the butt.
So in order for you to take delivery of these display sheds, it's a full 40-foot trailer that they bring in there? I mean, the truck and trailer, is it possible for him to get onto your property?
I would say so, yes. It is a one-acre property that they could get it into the parking lot, either way that it's laid out, and get it off the road.
Well, you have a septic system on the pretty much that takes the bulk of the west side of where you're proposing to put the road into the property line.
Well, the road already exists.
No,
the existing road, that's correct.
Right. Yeah. And the septic's there to the east, yeah.
Or that, to the west.
Oh, west, I'm sorry. Yeah,
and,
west.
And you got 21-foot point. It looks pretty tight. And depending on which entrance that you use, the second paper that you gave us, is that the one that you'd be leaning toward more, where the parking is out adjacent to 9?
I believe so. I'll let Daniel answer that.
Yes.
Because of the neighbor's concern, and it seems more practical, too.
So you'd be asking for a variance for that, since it would be within the 40-foot right-of-way?
Well, I don't. John Roach just prepared this week, and I haven't talked to him about it. It looks like we might have to, but I didn't know if he calculated for that. Because it looks like it's within... I don't know the answer to that question. I can't see the distances with the eyes, my eyes here.
It is.
It's in the setback. Okay.
It's in the setback. Is that 40 You'd have
feet
to
from
get
the
away.
The road?
No, it's from the property line.
From the property line. Okay. Easement?
Oh, he's.
I'm sorry.
There's room.
How many vehicles do you all? Let me start. Rephrase that. So, are you going to when you? Everybody living in the house, will they have their vehicles parked in the same parking spaces?
I would imagine there would be another private area, and let me reorient, that would come off up on the other side of the house that would just be for Jennifer's car and my truck.
And then you say, is your truck the one used for delivering the sheds?
No,
or you have a separate truck for that?
We sub out all the deliveries to contractors.
Now, in both cases, the part of the lane is to be removed, right?
Correct.
It's now a circle, and they're proposing to cut off the part of the circle.
I made a note here, no sales from the site, but you're bringing people in to sell them sheds, so I must have written something down wrong.
They're not going to sell off. You're not going to come in and pick up a shed. But people will show up and make the deal to have a shed delivered.
They come in, they pick out their features, pick out their options, place the order. It gets built in the shop in Lancaster and goes directly to their house.
Unless you have a clearance thing or something like that once in a while, right?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Yep. And that keeps the display fresh. It keeps new models in and different, new features come along. The guys in the shop are always designing.
And as I learned about this, it's sort of interesting the way they match colors and styles with certain neighborhoods.
And that is one thing that we picked up on very quickly that's a needed service to the community, which is why we put that letter together. We picked up really quick on all the HOAs, which I'm sure you guys are very familiar with. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but we match the siding, whether it's cement board, pitch of the roof, shingles, by manufacturer specifically. We had customers coming in saying, I'm not even going to get a shed, it's too difficult, forget about it. And we take that headache away. So it is a service to the community that apparently can't be found very easily anywhere else.
So the employees are pretty much the two of
myself
you?
Myself and her,
okay.
Yes.
And then the parking then is for you all and for any customers that would be in there. What would be a wild guess of how many customers might come in a day or at any given time?
I know you don't like this, but you know all that.
You're going to need to state your name.
Say your name.
Jennifer Sharp, 15 Cypress Avenue, Wilmington, Delaware, 19804. We average, I have the sales for this year from this location. We average about 9 a month on our good month, which is spring and summer. We, on a slow month, might do 5, and that's about our month. Yeah.
Now, will this be the sole location, or one of other locations? In other words, are you maintain? Did I understand that you all currently have a business up in north somewhere?
Cave Neck Road and Route 1.
Okay, so because I know they also referenced Cave Neck Road, and so that's where you are now.
Yes.
You're going to retain that one as well?
Until the shopping center and the intersection thing happens, and somebody walks into the Hudson's office with a
wheelbarrow. So you're trying to prepare for a relocation.
We don't own that property. We are renting.
Yeah, we're renting.
So this would then become the primary location. Yeah. Okay, yes. I understand now. No other questions.
Okay. Mrs. Hoey-Stevenson.
So then do you actually need 6 parking spaces, or is that just wishful thinking, hoping?
Correct.
It was recommended, okay. And, you know, the site planner, you know, kind of said 4 to 6, and we wanted to err on the side of caution and said, sure, fine, 6.
Okay. We have 6 customers in a day. We are excited.
If we have 6 customers at one time, we wonder what's going on.
Yeah, okay. And this will be your primary residence then?
Correct.
It will not be coming and going, and that's it for me.
Mr. Hudson.
My questions you answered very well about how many sheds you're going to have, or how you move them and you get them out of there and all that kind of stuff. I'm still a little confused about that how they get to that one house back there.
Yeah.
Are they coming?
Don't worry about it. That's not...
Yeah, it's not on their property.
Just as long as it's not on your property.
It is.
We looked at it. It's a property that's separately titled, separately taxed. It's not part of anybody's lot. The people that live in the rear don't actually touch in any way, shape, or form these people's property. There's a 50-foot wide road on paper that runs through it that somebody else owns.
Well, I'm looking at it here on Google Earth, and it's strange.
Yeah.
So it's a private easement. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Wheatley.
I'm good.
And I'm good as well. Ms. Walls?
Yep.
Mr.
No questions.
Ms. Cornwall?
None, thanks.
Mr. Robertson?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks for considering.
Just hang nearby. We'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Does anyone like to speak in favor of conditional use 2096 Capitol Building Shed Outlet? In favor?
In favor?
In favor?
In favor?
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Steve Pass, address 14 Manor House Lane, Lewis, Delaware. I'm here in favor of this application. I've known Defender family, Steve, his dad, for more than 30 years. They supply many, many, many products to our residents and our communities. So I hope you would take this under consideration. Him and his firm, Jennifer. They'll be an asset to the community. Thank you. And I'm hungry.
So are we.
Anyone else speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition to conditional use 2096? Anyone in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is William Hammett. I'm at 1409 Fisherman's Lane, and I'll let you know the mystery of the rates of life. That's Linda and John who gave you the letter. That's their house that it rides up to, and we share that rates of way. We pay taxes on that with Robert and Rose Key, and I'm William, and my wife, June. And I'm going to oppose. I mean, you know, I know that somebody could buy the house and do what they want with the trees, the fence. You know, we wouldn't like it. It looks good now. That's why we bought the house, came here to retire. And the fact is that it's just the traffic. It's a safety issue. As you know, coming westbound on 9 there, it's not a clear lane, it's a broken lane there. So people, you can hear them when they come down, they come up in the evening, they pass each other. And it's dangerous, you know. And to me, the traffic that they're going to get with this business, I think it'd be a huge safety issue. A couple of my neighbors I already talked to, they've already had accidents there. So, you know, it's just, I'm not for it at all. That's I mean, like I say, I know somebody could buy it and do with the fence and all that, but it's just a safety issue with me, as well as the eyesore and the traffic. And we have privacy back there. You know, it's nice, but. So I hope the commission understands. And so they do border our property. We own that rights away. We pay taxes on that. The three of us, we share that.
Okay.
And we just, when we paved it, we were supposed to go on threes, but Linda and John didn't want to go on, so Robert and the people we bought from, Joseph, they paid to have paid what is paved.
That's it right there.
Yeah. Okay. Robert and Rose Key lived to the left at 109, and we got the 224 there. And then Linda's over there where the boat is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Staff? Mr. Robertson?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening, see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2104, Grace and Mercy Ministries, Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a cemetery on a half acre of 9.8 acres of land located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400 Sussex County, containing 9.98 acres more or less. The property is located on the southeast corner of Woodyard Road and Sussex Highway Route 13. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 530, Map 5, Parcel 40.05. Staff would submit for the record a staff analysis. There was a site plan included in the application. The results from the DLDOT service level evaluation, which did not require a TIS, and comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone here representing this application? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Yes, Brian Tindley, 25921 Country Meadow Drive, Millsboro. I'm here representing Pastor Mazel. She's on vacation with the family and a previous engagement already set during this meeting, but she wanted me to attend and answer any questions concerning the cemetery.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to add to what Ms. Cornwell put in the record?
No. Just that whenever questions come, I'm
okay.
Giving what she planned.
I'm sure we'll stimulate a little conversation for you, okay? Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
So my first question is, where is the cemetery supposed to go? I don't see it on this. It says you got on the plot I have, I see proposed church, and it looks like parking and a septic, but I don't see where the actual cemetery would go.
Yeah, she was looking at it. I think I haven't gotten the actual there until she gets here exactly where she wanted it, because she looked at it. I think she already had it where, but the thing is, she said she was going to fence it in anywhere, and it's a small corner over there. I'm not sure because she's not here exactly, because we, you know, own the whole land, and she got so many things that she already put on there, but the cemetery was already in her plan. But when she left, okay, where exactly? Where she going to put that cemetery, but she already had in her mind where it was, and she was going to also fence it in and have it gated.
So, and this will be part of a church?
Yes.
Then it's actually a graveyard. If you guys want to know the semantics of it.
I never knew there was so much red tape with regard to
I don't remember ever having so many cemeteries in one.
I know, and I got lead on both of them. I'm really starting to wonder, folks. Anyway, all right, so... So, and then who would be using this graveyard? What would this be for?
It'd be for the members and people there. It's for, I guess, no live people.
Would this be members of your church, or would you be selling off plots? That the kind of
thing? She's probably the one. If I let her explain it, I think she's more into.
Well, but she's not here in the records tonight. So it's not like she'll be able to come to county council.
Yes.
But for the application and the hearing this evening, you know, it's going to be what you say. We can't hold the record open for her to come back and explain so you know. So.
Right. Okay, then I mean, you don't know if she wants a sign or if she wants to sell plots or if she wants to, okay. And we just know that you want it to be half an acre somewhere on this property. Okay, then I guess that's all I got. Next.
Mr. Hopkins.
No questions.
Mr. Hudson.
No questions.
Mr. Wheatley.
So it's a half acre somewhere on this piece. That's what we know. Okay. Thank you.
We'll try to work with what we have here.
We always do.
Yeah. Ms. Wall is there?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse.
No questions.
Ms. Cornwell.
I actually do have a question. Is it your understanding that the graveyard would be for sale, the plots would be for sale for members of the church?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what she will do. That she's pretty well will take care of. She's a business minded person too, so
that's always good. Mr. You have any other? Mr. Robertson?
No, I don't have any others.
Okay. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Does anyone here like to speak in favor of conditional use 2104 Grace and Mercy Ministries Incorporated? In favor. Anyone like to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Sorry. I'm moving along a little too quick. Yeah, in favor? No? Okay. Well, you're up next. So anyone in opposition, come on up. How's that?
Gentlemen, my name is Jim Slutchauer, 9762 Woodyard Road, Greenwood. I own roughly 700 feet. That's my place. I wish you had a newer picture because it's cleaned up now. My wife and I bought the property.
That property right there?
Yes.
Okay.
It had chicken houses on it, which, you know, that's cleaned up now and everything. We bought the property years ago, looking to turn it, you know. So we've cleaned everything up. You know, make it look good for our neighbors also. Have a few, you know, we're worried about ground contamination, you know. Worried about home value, of course, you know. They say 20% of home buyers won't even look at the property if there's a graveyard adjacent to it. Also trusts, you know, I know a lot of cemeteries are in trust. You know, if something happens to the church, you know, who's going to maintain it, you know? Also, you know, they asked for a half acre. Is it going to be more than a half acre? You know, is it, you know, are they planning on selling it, making the 10 acres a cemetery, you know? All these concerns my wife and I have. Also have a 3-year-old son that, you know, plays. He's got his playground out back there and, you know, just concerns we have, you know. I know a few of my neighbors are here also with more concerns. And
well, we can restrict the size. They've asked for a half acre, so we can accommodate that request or not, but we can limit it to a half acre, so it won't be the whole parcel. And since the location is somewhat in question, we could also impact the location of the cemetery when they get the site plan approval or whatever. If you had a preference on location, I mean, is you're up there in the top right where the chicken houses have been.
Yes.
Is there a place where, if it was, I'm not saying it's being approved, but if it was approved by us and the council, that would be better?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, you know, all my neighbors are good people. I mean, I don't.
There may not be a concern.
I don't want to put it on one of them either. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't want to. I mean, we're all pretty tight, you know. Like I said, they're all, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I just really.
And what if there was a, you know, a buffer? And again, it's a conditional use. So we could require buffer, a forested buffer of 20 feet or 30 feet along the property lines to make sure that, you know, there wasn't direct visibility. We could require a fence. I mean, is there anything that.
I would certainly say as far away from everybody as possible, you know, with a buffer. You know, I'm not here to tell anybody what anybody can do on their property, you know, because I would never want anybody to tell me, you know. But this is a little different, you know. You know, I respect everyone, you know, I respect the churches. But again, I, you know, you know, I don't want to, I've put tens of thousands of dollars into my property. I mean, this picture don't do it justice, you know. I mean, I've cleaned this place up, my wife, you know, we've done, like I said, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars on this property. And I just, yes, well, that's, it's even better now. The grass is growed in and everything. I put new building in, have another one getting ready to get put up. You know, I just, I hate to lose $40,000 or $50,000, you know. You know, again, it's just concerns that I have, you know, and I don't want to take up nobody else's time, you know. I have other people who want to speak, you know, and I appreciate your time, and, you know, it's getting late, and, you know, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just in response, you, that's fine.
Oh,
just for them. Looking at this survey, it looks like on the boundary along this gentleman's property and even on the western side, there's a 50-foot tax ditch right-of-way, so that would probably prohibit the location of the survey, certainly within 50 feet of that property line. You know, well, it looks like it goes around, sort of all the way around the thing if you look at that survey. It probably also affects the ability to put buffers in there as well.
It looks like it's grown up pretty well.
Yeah, you can see, right, it goes all the way down. And then.
But you could do adjacent to it if you wanted to.
Yeah, but it's still going to be, I'm just saying there's 50 feet.
Careful about the easement, the maintenance easement. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
anyone else? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is John Orsinger, 9682 Woodyard Road, Greenwood, Delaware. I'm going to pretty much piggyback off of what he said as far as the embalming fluid seepage. Because there is embalming fluid seepage from the vaults, and that is very highly toxic. You do have tax ditches that go all the way around. They cleaned it out this year. They come out by with a mower. There's a 15-foot easement on our side of the property that the mowers come by. Excuse me. Also, it is agricultural residential. If they plan on selling the lots, wouldn't they have to rezone to
it's
commercial?
It's a conditional use in the AR zone, which is why we're here.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much, you know, my property is the property that's right on the closest to 13 there. So the property impacts both the entrance for their church, which I have no problem about that. Coming in and going around the back of the property, that would cause some kind of conflict if, like, say they had a funeral on a weekend and I was having a birthday party with family and friends out there. That would be kind of a conflict of interest between us having celebrating and them mourning. that would be another, you know, conflict that I'm trying to look at. And pretty much whatever Jeff said.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Leslie. I'm 79703 Woodyard Road. I know they've had a sign there for the church, but has that been approved? Are they building a church?
Churches are allowed to be built in an AR1 zone, so...
Do we know if it's being built?
We don't know.
Well, that's kind of... The sign has been there for a while for the future church, a couple years, and it just seemed kind of odd to me that they're asking for a cemetery, and we don't know if the church is going to be there.
It's a permitted use in AR1, right?
It's a permitted use, yeah. And they came in with a site plan a number of years ago. They just have not constructed as of yet.
So that site plan will expire after, what is it?
Yeah, five? I'm going to guess they're going to need to come up in with a revised site plan.
Okay. So, I mean, what would happen?
Like, was that recently?
That was a number of years ago.
So, you know, the county engineer's office will eventually just mothball that site plan. They'll have to come back to the staff, it's a permitted use, and present another site plan with a building permit
Okay, so how long is that, the original one, good for?
There's no real date.
It don't technically expire.
New ones will, but this one was from, it looks like around 2008 timeframe.
So I just am confused why they're requesting a cemetery and the church is not. Is the cemetery going to come first before the church?
You know, it could. You know, if the cemetery was approved a conditional use, they could put that in and not ever build the church.
Okay. So my other question then is, not knowing about where the church is and where is the entrance to the property, because as far as previous...
Ma'am, I'll let you have... This is our site plan. I'll let you have my copy.
If there is a car procession, if they have to come on Whittier Road, that's a narrow road.
The entrance to the property is off Woodyer Road as proposed in that site plan.
And it looks like DelDOT signed off on that in 2010.
Mm-hmm. So the entrance to the property over here is on Woodyer Road. Okay, so that's a narrow road. And I have not seen this. Should we have been notified of that?
It was in the file.
Again, the site plan is the use as a church is a permitted use, and the review of the site plan does not require a public hearing because it is a permitted use. The use as the cemetery does require a public hearing because it is a conditional use. So the public would not have been notified of the proposed church building.
Okay, so just to let you know, Woodyard Road is rather narrow, and I don't know about a lot of traffic and a long funeral procession. So I am concerned because I live across the street there. I've been there since 92, and it just seems a little odd. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name is Donald Healy, 9729 Woodyard Road. I own the property across from Jim with the horseshoe driveway right here. My concerns are the iffies. The entrance on Woodyard Road is next to the stop sign right there. It's a bad, bad spot right there, very narrow. The other entry on the other way would be in on 13, which is adjacent to that intersection, which is a bad spot too. I don't know the level of the ground right there because it's recently was in the floodplain area. It floods all along that wood, tax ditch, White Marsh ditch. We haven't heard, basically the only reason I know about it was my neighbor told me about it on what was going on. So I know for years that they've had signs up there about the church, but I've never seen any real care taken care of the property other than they were mowing hay off of it. They did have a yard sale in the front there earlier, but I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable that they can maintain this property if they can't build a church on there after all this amount of time. So we're looking at like the cart ahead of the horse. We don't want to see a loss of revenue from our property being devalued because of this, because we have nice homes there. I don't know, you know, the distance that I understand the proposal of the cemetery is quite a distance away from, this is like a 9-acre plot, from the church. Normally speaking, if I've seen the church, I usually see the cemetery next to the church, not, you know.
They actually haven't stipulated in tonight's where the cemetery is going to go. The church is marked on the preliminary site plan.
So we know nothing really, basically.
About where the location of the cemetery is. But that would have to come back before the commission. It's a conditional use, so we can influence that.
Yeah. As like I said, there's a lot of ifs that I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Do you have any evidence that your property would be affected by a cemetery that's across the street and behind somebody else's property?
I don't have any hard evidence to be like that, but I do know that I've talked to other people about it and how they felt about having it, you know, and affecting their property. And I haven't found one person yet that's had a positive reaction and says, I'm in favor of having a cemetery across my front
yard. Just seems to me that, you know, there's a cemetery in downtown Rehoboth, and those properties are selling like hotcakes. There's
yeah,
a cemetery
that's down around Rehoboth. This is
well,
this is
you know,
Farmington.
We just had somebody who wanted a cemetery on their property, you know, and clearly they weren't worried about property values. We've heard a lot about property values, and one of the things that everybody here has to understand that legally the commission can't take what's called anecdotal evidence about property values into to much account. You know, if you had an appraiser here or somebody that, you know, could testify to the fact that it's going to affect your property by a percentage negatively of, you know, some amount, we can take that into account. But it's hard for the commission to base a decision on, you know, an opinion that a cemetery is going to affect their property without something concrete to support that. I mean, and I'm not saying that because we're taking a position one way or another. We just know that's what the courts have told us in terms of how we act on an application, whether it's a cemetery or whether it's a convenience store or, you know, or anything. So, you know, it kind of puts us in a little bit of a bind, evidence-wise.
Well, I know that I'm going through a similar circumstance. And I own a business in Farmington, a machine shop. And there was a church in Farmington that went up for sale. It was abandoned. They sold it. I understood that the rules and regulations on requirements on that, that it had to be to meet the current building code standards for that building when they moved back into it. They have absolutely no parking. They didn't renovate the building to the codes of that I have to. To build the building I just built.
My understanding is you're talking about Farmington.
You do know that's Kent County.
I know it's Kent County. But I'm saying, I see the same kind of thing right in here. Is it going to fall on the same plan that because it's a church, it's okay to do whatever you want to?
It's going
to
meet code, I mean, just like anybody else. When they build it, they'll have to put a building permit in. It'll be inspected. It'll meet code.
And even like this cemetery and the other one on the family plot, the state, I think it's the Delaware State Historic Preservation people, an arm of that. I mean, they, like we were talking about, it's amazing the red tape you got to go through for a cemetery, but there's a lot of it, you know. So, I mean, there's.
I understood the personal family cemetery. I believe that's, you know, it's long term ground. It's been there, and they have a right to inter their family on their own property right there. But this is not, it's not what they're doing. They're talking about selling lots, I understand.
Well, they still have the same guidelines. I mean, there's a state law. They'll have to have a fund to take care of it, whether it's a private cemetery or public.
I was trying to find the information on cemeteries, really, you know, the codes and all into it. It's very difficult to find all that information on it. So what were the parameters on it?
Well, ours is a land use decision. It's not the regulatory side of the cemetery.
So that's only the first step in the process to get
it's one step. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's basically my concern.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
We talk in both
anyone else like to speak in opposition?
We're getting punchy now.
Last call for opposition. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Ms. Walls? Mr. Whitehouse? No? Ms. Cornwall?
No, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
None, thanks.
I think I understand why my wife wants to cremate me now.
Yeah, right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the public hearing for conditional use 2021-04, Grace and Mercy Ministries Incorporated. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you're welcome to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is